If I'm not mistaken, we're on lesson 3, question number 8, and that should be addressing chapter 10, verse 18. The question is what is a slanderer called? And I don't know how y'all normally do the class, but I'll do the best I can. So does anybody have an answer? I probably should stay it there. All right. So chapter 10, verse 18, what does it say?
Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool.
Correct. So those who are passing on slander, they're considered, and they are called a fool. Danelle?
Well, and I put malicious intent and lying for slander.
That's correct. Anybody care to read Psalms 15, verse 3? Psalms 15, verse 3. Go for it.
He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend.
Okay, so it's not just in Psalms. We're talking about the same issue with David's the Psalms as well. If you notice that fool, if you go throughout the Scriptures, do you find any time that hardly a fool is a good thing? No, matter of fact, if you really look at it, being called a fool is actually being called a sinner. Somebody who is a fool is a sinner. And it's sinful to be a fool. Now, that's just a concept that, well, sort of recently has been, I always thought just a fool was somebody who just didn't have much of a mind. But not by the way the Scriptures read, not by how they present it. Scriptures present a fool as being someone who is of sinful mind. Who's not wise? Who does not look for God's wisdom? They choose their own, and in so doing, a fool is sinful. So it's not just that somebody who doesn't have wisdom, but somebody who's actually sinful. That's a concept that recently I've just started realizing. Anyway, just a thought as a comment. Do you know?
Well, and just like in Matthew 25, when it's talking about the wise and foolish virgin. And it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour when he is coming. I'm sorry, right before that it says, he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. So God doesn't consider them his if they are foolish.
Correct. Any other thoughts or comments? Yes, ma'am. That is correct. Because, first off, it has a two meaning to it. One is not wise, and one who doesn't use his mind well. The other is also in the context of being sinful. So you're right. Today in our society, using the word stupid. Oh, no. You can't use that. Well, why? It's because people don't want to have their intelligence impugned. And that's rightfully so. Every single one of us has some sort of skill that somebody else might not have. So each one of us has value, even if we don't have a lot of skills, we still have a value that we're the son or daughter of God, that we have a soul. So why are we going to impugn someone's standing themselves, you know? No, that's wrong. So never call somebody a fool, because everyone has intelligence or it has a value. That's the point, I believe, on that one. Any other thoughts on that one? Good, thank you very much. All right, rapidly moving on to question number 9. Oh, one more thing. Before we go to 9, I apologize. Slander. Is that somebody telling something true? No, it has malicious intent as well as is a false statement. It's usually a lie. So, okay, any other thoughts? All right. Sorry, I regressed. Let's see, where's my button I'm supposed to press? No, okay, not yet. Number 9. As you can tell, I'm real versed on this.
We have control back here, too.
Oh, very good. Backup, that's fine. All right. Question number 9. To what is the tongue of the just compared?
Choice silver.
Correct. Why did they choose silver as a analogy here?
That's something I've never really been able to understand, because a lot of times they choose silver over gold. Perhaps it's more easily refined and therefore more plentiful.
Silver is far more plentiful, that is correct. There also is another aspect in which most people until recently, they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Well, also interesting about silver is it's an antimicrobial. And so if you're eating with silver, it actually helps to kill bacteria and viruses. That's just the same thing with copper. All the other minerals, except for gold, has some sort of negative property to them. Stainless steel, not so bad. But that just thought that was interesting. So silver has a healing property to it as well. Any other thoughts? All right, also silver in this one is considered pure. Silver was considered a monetary value and lots of different things. And so it was a good thing to have silver. It was, it's the poor man's gold. Okay? It'd be my gold, of course. All right. Any other thoughts on this one, Danelle?
Well, and you say in Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So, it's using a comparison there with gold and silver as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Matter of fact, during Solomon's time, Scriptures talk about how the gold was so plentiful in Jerusalem during Solomon's time that silver became of not much value. Now imagine that. Okay. No wonder Babylon wanted to have a piece of that. Okay. Any other thoughts before question number 10? Number 10. What do the lips of the righteous do? We're talking about verse 21 now.
These men.
Feeds many. Why would that be? Why would feeding many have anything to do with the righteous? Yes.
But I don't think, since he's talking about the lips, I doubt that he's talking about actual physical food, but rather the fact that he's teaching people. Foolish die for lack of understanding is the contrary part there in the same verse. So it has to do with understanding and wisdom and teaching and learning.
Very good. Could it also be having to do with physical? Yes, ma'am.
Spiritual
food. Okay, excellent. Could this also be physical? Could it be a dual meaning? Think about it. If you have a parent or somebody who has in charge of food, if they're righteous, they're going to distribute food. They're going to help provide. So in my thinking, I agree. It's definitely spiritual wisdom, absolutely. But I also think it could apply to the physical. If you have somebody who's selfish and foolish, would you want them as a parent? Or somebody who's wise, who's a parent to you? Somebody who's a parent to you is wise, they're going to feed you. They're going to supply for your needs. So yeah, now imagine Proverbs is talking a lot to who? This is talking, Solomon's writing this to who?
His son.
His son. And who's the son going to be in charge of? The whole country, the whole nation. So if you're a fool, or you're somebody who's not going to be righteous, are your interests going to be in for the nation? Or is it for self? So Solomon asking for wisdom, God gave it to him. Why? Because he knew he'd be good for the whole nation. So here the same thing. Righteous will be feeds many. So I think you're right. It has to do with wisdom. And also I believe it has to do with the who's being written to and why. Okay. It's kind of like Galatians. Yes, sir.
Just real quick, this whole, like from 19 on, actually back a little further than that, reminds me a lot of James 1, obviously, where James is talking about the tongue and how hard it is to control. But Jesus points out, too, that the things that come out of your mouth are what's in your heart. So not only is the new law a law of heart, but that's one thing that David got right in the old law, was it wasn't just do this and don't do that. There was a big component of it, but it was also wanting to have your heart right with God. And God commands that. And that's what the whole new covenant is predicated on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other thoughts? Tom? Yes, ma'am?
A thought on what it could mean literally in terms of the lips of the righteous speaking many, but fools die for lack of sense. We've all in our jobs met people who can't stop talking, and they tend to just say whatever's on their mind, and they don't have any filter, and then they wonder why they can't advance in their job, or why they're always in trouble, or why they're the first one to get fired, because they don't know how to speak rightly. The lips of the righteous tend to succeed in a job, and so when you succeed in your job, then you can feed many.
Mm-hmm.
But the foolish loses their job, loses their source of income,
mm-hmm.
and has difficulty surviving for their lack of sense.
Mm-hmm. One more, just one more. Very good. Absolutely great. What is it that the foolish tend to do? They tend to be selfish, don't they? And that's one of the things about fools is that their selfishness just pours out. Think about right now, for the last 20 to 30 years, Somalia and some of the many African nations, they've had a huge problem with pirates or with people that the grain is supposed to go to the villages so they can get fed. And who hijacks them? Pirates or somebody who's what? Are they righteous or are they selfish? They're selfish. And they're not of righteous intent, are they? But if you're of righteous intent, you'd spread the food. All right. And so exactly. So this, I believe, happens to hit so many aspects, wisdom, workplace, physical food. I think this just is a concept that hits a lot of things. Any other thoughts, Danelle?
Oh, well, excuse me, my Bible references Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also have forgotten your children.
Thank you. All right, going on to question number 11. What shall be given to the righteous? We're referring to chapter 10, verse 24 now.
This is our hope to grant.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, if you'll bear with me, this new phone that I got, I'm still trying to figure it out. Oh, no, don't do that.
Personally, we all have phones exactly like yours, so we can teach
you. Well, I'm glad you do. You probably will. See, I've been with Apple product for about 20-some-odd years or a long time, and I'd had enough of it. So I switched over, and I'm still trying to figure it out. All right. Yeah, exactly. Their desire will be granted. Could anybody please read... Somebody please read 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5, verse 14.
I can do that.
Go ahead.
1 John 5:14 in the American Standard says, "And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us."
Who's he talking to?
Christians in general.
Now, understand, somebody who does not understand the scriptures will say, "All right, I want a Cadillac. I'm going to pray for a Cadillac. I didn't get one. How come?" Well, when you read the rest of the scriptures, it's talking about things that you ask that are appropriate. needs for others and your specific true need. It's not talking about your wants. So I think that's important there. Any other thought? So desire does not mean want as in excess. This is desire as in what you absolutely need. Yes, sir.
I do think it's interesting that when Nathan came to David, and David was praying afterwards, God would have been willing to give David even more than what he'd already given him. I mean, he had made him very wealthy. He was feared throughout the world as a mighty warrior. But God would have been willing to give him more to keep him away from all of the other things he had done. But his heart was not in the right place.
All right. I saw some other hands. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention that it does, piggyback on for what you said, it does say that if we ask anything according to His will, so it's not anything that we want, like a Mercedes or whatever, a gold dress, but according to His will, and then it kind of contrasts or is parallel to the passage that we're studying in Proverbs 10:24, and the desire of the righteous. So if you're of the righteous, if you're a Christian, practicing, the things of God and walking righteously, you will be walking in accordance to God's will. So I think that kind of brings home what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's not just anything we want.
Yes, thank you.
And I think, once again, we've got a spiritual contrast here in 24. Because it starts off by saying the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Well, he's not talking about something physical here. He's talking about the problems that he'll have because of his fearful attitude. and when he talks about then the desire of the righteous, once again, if we look at that in comparison with the top part of the verse, then it's just that as long as we're immersing ourselves in God's Word, then we'll have the desire that righteous people want.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like Penny said, it's like doing it, what God wants us to do.
Right. Jesus addresses this same issue in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else on this one? Moving on at a lightning speed.
It is lightning speed compared to normal.
Oh, okay. Well, what was interesting to me is you don't necessarily can't see my notes. I was talking to Danelle last night. I said, where you guys left off is exactly where we left off, but in October 22. And we're fast approaching the line where I drew where we stopped on that same day. All right. Number 12. Who is an everlasting foundation?
The righteous.
I think that's correct. The righteous. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on that one?
Well, when you're getting tossed about because you don't have any roots, from the south, so a tornado comes along, if the tree didn't have good roots, it's going to be uprooted. An oak tree, they can stand before a lot of wind because their roots go down as deep as they are tall. And so they have that big taproot in the middle that hangs onto that earth and doesn't go anywhere. And when we have Jesus as our foundation, then we're not going to be blown around either. And then that's when we can be righteous, because we have that everlasting foundation.
Very good. Danelle?
Yeah, and with going along with what you just said, I had put 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. Can you read it?
Please do.
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right. And I think we all know the parable that Jesus spoke back in Matthew chapter 7 about the wise man built his house upon the rock. Yeah? And that rock is what? Jesus and the foundation of God. Yeah. But if on sand, it wouldn't do so well. No, not at all. And that would be our foolish wisdom, if you would, man's wisdom. And not applying our righteousness or the righteousness of God in our lives, that's not wise at all. All right. Any other thoughts on this one? Moving on. Question number 13. What is the hope of the righteous?
Gladness.
Gladness. Oh, so say it again.
It brings joy.
Brings joy. I have a question for you. How many people do you know or you have been exposed to throughout your life who are not righteous and they wanted bad for you? And they wanted bad for other people? And they didn't want to see joy. They didn't want to see happy or gladness. They wanted to see sorrow. They wanted to see tears. They wanted to see pain. Where'd that come from?
Satan.
That's right. Now, which way do you want to go? Gladness and joy? Or pain and tears? Don't know.
Well, and think about Job, all that he went through. And in Job 8:13, he says, "Such are the paths of all who forget God. You don't have joy. And the hope of the godless shall perish." So an opposite, you know, contrast.
Very good. All right, anybody else? All right. If you would, one more for me, that'd be Psalms 112. Psalms 112. And starting verse 9. "He has dispersed abroad. He has given unto the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He'll be gnashing his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." You know, the wicked today, they want what they can get now. They don't care about what's going to happen tomorrow or even what happens after this life. All Satan wants them to see is what's right in front of you. It's like, come here, take a look at this. This is nice and bright and shiny. Come look, follow this. You ever watch a cat with a laser on the ground? Cat jumps all over the place trying to catch that laser. What happens to that laser when it catches it? Cat looks like, what was that? That's nothing. Where'd it go? Well, that's kind of like what Satan does with us, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It's not forever. That laser does not stay there for that forever. All right. Okay, moving on. Question number 14. Who shall not inhabit the earth? See, this is who's, again, we have to understand who's writing and who's writing to. So, anybody have an idea on this one? Answer for this one. Okay. So why would this specific who shall not inherit the earth? Verse 30, what? "The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inherit the earth." Who's he writing to?
Rehoboam.
And who's Rehoboam going to be?
A bad king.
Well, at the time, Solomon didn't. Solomon's trying to give his son something better than just evil. He's trying to give him some wisdom. So what's he trying to express to Rehoboam or his children, his offspring at this point? What's he trying to share? If you're a ruler of a nation, what would this now mean to you?
To follow God, you
Yeah. If you want to keep a hold of that nation and you want to hold on to the earth, you want to hang on, you better be righteous. Do you know?
Well, and in Psalms 37:21-22, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off.
Very good. Moving on, I think. Very good. Thank you very much. How about number 15? Yes, ma'am. Okay, as I was talking about before, I'm getting deaf. Or deaf, whichever you might say it. Now, if you're from New Jersey, it's something different, I'm sure. But say that again for me. You think? Their religion is predicated on the thought that there'll be this massive battle and Jesus will hold the earth, the premillennial thinking, and that when the Jehovah's, as you're right, they come by, they're looking at your house. I think I just don't want that one. I think I'll take that one because they're expecting everybody to be gone. That's not what this is about. Any other thoughts? You're correct. All right, moving on. I gotta start putting check marks here. Let's see. Whose mouth will bring forth wisdom?
The righteous.
The righteous. Very good. Would somebody read Psalms 37? Psalms 37? Oh, yeah, absolutely. The whole chapter. No. Verse 30.
The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice.
There you go. Another reference there. Yes, sir.
Almost like that these books have the same author.
You think? Same master author. That's a concept. You know, there's a thing, this may not be talking about the Proverbs, but that concept is evidence for the Bible. And that concept, there is one master author. How many books do you know of that has so many authors but the same theme, and has no other, has evidence that cross references for science, for agriculture, for all different forms and things that we do in life, and it has not yet been disproven. Now, some people want to say they have been, but they really haven't. Yes, ma'am.
And that's what God wants for us. He
yeah.
He wants to be on one accord with one another and speak the same thing.
That's right. Wants unity. Oh, that doesn't necessarily mean universe unity at all cost either. It means unity within his word, not unity just because we get along. All right. I know that's a bit off course here, but that's all right. Is that a hand?
Yeah. I was just looking at going back in Proverbs to Proverbs 2, starting with verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And then this part is like to the second part of verse 31, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, taking you away from that point. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Very good. Very good. All right. Number 16. What does pride bring? And by the way, another version would say haughtiness. Verse 2 of chapter 11.
Shame.
Yep. There's another cross reference, Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12.
Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility.
Very good. That sort of reminds me of, I'm kind of odd, of 1812, War of 1812. The British had a real haughty attitude that we can come back and conquer the United States. Well, and it didn't work out so well that way. We'll move on. So, now we're on to, any other thoughts? Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to find it and I can't quickly, but it takes my mind to the thought, whether it is that something we've paraphrased or if it actually is a verse that says it this way, but that pride cometh before a fall.
Try Proverbs 16:18.
Okay.
Let's try that one real quick if you don't mind. Proverbs 16:18.
Oh, yeah. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
There you go.
How many times I've heard that sentence? Well, or I've said it to my son.
that particular verse or reference, I've heard in the movies. Surprising. Of course, it wasn't recently made. All right. Number 17. Question number 17. What shall guide the upright?
Is integrity.
Integrity. What is integrity? I asked that question of what is integrity because you don't see it much today. It used to be that you go, that person has integrity. And you had examples. And you go, I understand integrity, but what is integrity today? We need to know what it means.
Standing firm with honesty.
Yes. Honesty is the core aspect of integrity. Holding on to what is correct, even when it's not convenient. Is it Penny?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Kind of what you do behind closed doors when no one's looking.
Right. Integrity and character go along hand to hand. If you have integrity, you have good character. If you don't have you don't have integrity, you have bad character. So in that way, yes. Good. I like that. Very good. Danelle?
Well, yeah, and often we are seeing in these Proverbs that the first half has a contrast to the second half of the verse. And so my brain immediately looked at, okay, what is integrity? Well, it's the opposite of perversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the contrasting there. So.
Correct. Any other thoughts? Now, whoever's a timekeeper, make sure you let me know because I'm a bit unfamiliar and I'll get distracted doing this. All right. All right. Very good. Now?
No.
All right. Will be. All right. Any other thoughts on number 17, what shall guide the upright? Danelle?
So, I guess another word that could be used with integrity is blameless in Proverbs. 13:6. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked.
Very good. Moving on. Number 18. What delivers from death?
Righteousness is one of them.
Well, this one has two verses together, and so it's not just one thing, is it? Would anybody be willing to read verses 4 through 6? 11, 4 through 6? Go ahead.
Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust.
So the theme here is
righteousness.
Right. And it goes, it has different examples. And as Donnell pointed out, Proverbs, now understand, Proverbs is broken up in three different styles of writing, if you would. And this style, in this section of Proverbs, it gives a contrast and such like that. The other two, they're different. But in this way, in this section, as Donnell points out, it's a contrast. Humans do well with seeing what is right and what is wrong and seeing a contrast in what you should or shouldn't do. Other ways, then it gives a story. Very good. Or gives straight wisdom. So those are other aspects of it. All right. Blameless and upright in righteousness. Good. Number 19. What does death bring to the wicked? Say that again.
Torment.
You're so right. You're absolutely so right. In short, you're exactly right. Anybody else have a different way of saying it?
American Standard Version says his expectation shall perish. In other words, we're at verse 7, right? Yeah, so also it says the hope of iniquity perishes. So the man is thinking, as I think that you've said earlier in this class, that people are not thinking about what's going to come next. What happens when I die? And if you're not righteous, then death will simply bring you perishing. He uses perishing twice of this. The hope of iniquity perishes. Expectation shall perish. So all you can expect is perishing.
Mm-hmm. It's like that cat when it catches that laser and it goes away. All that cat's expectations just went away. Now, how many have ever truly been with somebody who's perishing or dying? Now, don't answer that necessarily. But think about it. I've been with some folks who have perished. And the Christians are looking forward. The ones who are not so righteous, we're also not so looking forward. Party and drink and be happy today, for tomorrow we die. But what happens tomorrow? Oh, then they have to answer. But as a righteous person, they say, do right today, for tomorrow we shall live. It's a different concept. Different, as there's a phrase called a paradigm shift. No, it's not two dimes on a stick shift. But a paradigm shift is how you look at things. So some people will say glass half empty. Some will say half full. Paradigm shift is how you consider it. So if I'm always a pessimist, oh, it's half empty. If I'm pessimistic, I'm always looking at the negative. See, that's where my wife has been such a blessing to me. She helps me to see the glass is half full, not empty. So she's been a blessing very much for me. I apologize. Donnell first, and then...
I'm going to Job again. In Job 8, 11 through 13, can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the rushes grow without water? While it is still green and not cut down, yet it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish.
Very good.
But I think that's what a lot of people think. They just like perish, and then not going to try and take
it. Isn't that... Go ahead.
And a lot of them just choosing to just live life, and they think they just... Once they die, it's going to be it. And that's not true.
Satan is a wonderful liar. Wonderful, not a good wonderful. but an excellent liar in making us or helping us to believe something that's not true. Richard, you had your hand up, I believe.
I'm sure there was something I was going to say, but I don't remember what it is now.
Very good. Well, surgery. That's what we do.
Anesthesia, right.
You know, there really is a truth to that. There really is. Anesthesia does truly mess with the mind. The longer and the type of anesthesia you have, the worse it is. I'm telling you. What did I say? Oh, yeah, that's it. All right. So I had surgery about a year ago, and I'm not joking. It took me a long time. And oh, that saved by the bell. All right, we'll stop right there. We actually went twice as far as I did in the class home.
Amazing.
So we'll end, and we'll pick up, or whoever picks up next on question number 20.